dogs barked. And more than the noise outside his window, there was the simple fact that Seneca's life was falling apart. It was crisis upon crisis upon crisis. Overseas unrest threatened his finances. He was getting older and could feel it. He had been pushed out of politics by his enemies, and now, on the outs with Nero, he could easily, at the emperor's whim, lose his head. It was not, we can imagine, from the perspective of our own busy lives, a great environment for a human to get anything done, unconducive to thinking, creating, writing, or making good decisions. The noise and distractions of the empire were enough to make me hate my very powers of hearing, Seneca told a friend. Yet for good reason, this scene has tantalized admirers for centuries. How does a man besieged by adversity and difficulty not only not go out of his mind, but actually find the serenity to think clearly and to write incisive, perfectly crafted essays, some in that very room, which would reach millions upon millions and touch on truths that few have ever accessed? I have toughened my nerves against all that sort of thing, Seneca explained to that same friend about the noise. I force my mind to concentrate and keep it from straying to things outside itself. All outdoors may be bedlam, provided that there is no disturbance within. Ah, isn't that what we all crave? What discipline, what focus, to be able to tune out our surroundings, to access one's full capabilities at any time, in any place, despite every difficulty. How wonderful that would be. What we'd be able to accomplish. How much happier we would be. To Seneca and his fellow adherents of Stoic philosophy, if a person could develop peace within themselves, if they could achieve apatheia, as they called it, then the whole world could be at war, and they could still think well, work well, and be well. You may be sure that you are at peace with yourself, Seneca wrote, when no noise reaches you, when no word shakes you out of yourself, whether it be flattery or a threat, or merely an empty sound buzzing about you with unmeaning sin. In this state, nothing could touch them, not even a deranged emperor. No emotion could disturb them, no threat could interrupt them, and every beat of the present moment would be theirs for living. It's a powerful idea made all the more transcendent by the remarkable fact that nearly every other philosophy of the ancient world, no matter how different or distant, came to the exact same conclusion. It wouldn't have mattered whether you were a pupil at the feet of Confucius in 500 BC, a student of the early Greek philosopher Democritus 100 years later, or sitting in Epicurus's garden a generation after that. You would have heard equally emphatic calls for this imperturbability, unruffledness, and tranquility. The Buddhist word for it was upekka. The Muslims spoke of islama. The Hebrews, hishtavut. The second book of the Bhagavad Gita, the epic poem of the warrior Arjuna, speaks of samatvam, an evenness of mind, a peace that is ever the same. The Greeks, euthymia and hesychia. The Epicureans, ataraxia. The Christians, equanimitas. In English, stillness. To be steady while the world spins around you. To act without frenzy. To hear only what needs to be heard. To possess quietude, exterior and interior, on command. To tap into the Tao and the Logos, the Word, the Way. Buddhism, Stoicism, Epicureanism, Christianity, Hinduism. It's all but impossible to find a philosophical school or religion that does not venerate this inner peace, this stillness, as the highest good and as a key to elite performance and a happy life. And when basically all the wisdom of the ancient world agrees on something, only a fool would decline to listen. Introduction.